This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Where do we stand today? People asking that to each other, children asking parents, teachers speaking to students, citizen to citizen, parent to child. Certainly, we all stand with the people of Newtown, Connecticut, and their unimaginable loss today. This hour, we begin the process of discerning the path ahead for the nation, for the people of Connecticut, for families everywhere, considering what might have to change if, as the president said yesterday, we can't tolerate this anymore. He said, these tragedies must stop. It seems like a month ago that on Friday morning, just last Friday morning, we heard the first reports.
Kids are fighting the Sandy Hook School. The front glass has been broken out of the school. They're unsure why. By all units, the individual that I have on the phone is continuing to hear what he believes to be gunfire.
There, one of the first 911 calls reports of a shooting at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in a small town, Newtown, Connecticut.
You are seeing here a map of Connecticut. Connecticut State Police and SWAT teams are now responding to a school shooting at an elementary school in Newtown. It's roughly 2 hours to the north and east of New York City.
Reports about the casualties in that shooting at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown.
Right, we're being told by multiple state and federal sources that unfortunately, more than a dozen people have been shot.
As tonight, the details are still pouring in. There are 27 victims, 20 children, 7 adults.
Tales sketchy at first, then terrifying, then the numbers that defied belief by the late afternoon. A tearful president went before the nation.
We've endured too many of these tragedies in the past few years. And each time I learn the news, I react not as a president, but as anybody else would. As a parent.
And in Connecticut, the tears and anguish that have focused a nation's attention.
It was shocking. I got the call at work this morning, and I can't believe a small town like this would ever have anything like this happen.
Also questions of why a 20-year-old man would kill like this, 6- and 7-year-olds, for no apparent reason. And his own thoughts on the matter silenced by his own hand, dead at the scene. Questions asked this weekend about laws regarding firearms.
Today we saw a room full of kindergartners slaughtered by a guy who never should have gotten a gun.
This should not have happened. We should have had measures in place before this.
And I'm not so sure, and I'm sure I'll get mail from this, I'm not so sure I wouldn't want one person in a school armed.
I'm going to introduce in the Senate, and the same bill will be introduced in the House, a bill to ban assault weapons.
Questions about mental health and the unknown threats from so-called loners and antisocial types, as the shooter Adam Lanza has been described as being. Questions of motive, as the memorial services began for a community in desperate pain.
When you go to church on Sunday like this mass today, everybody brings their family, from the 2-year-old up to the 14-year-old. And it's possible that I saw these kids with these beautiful families before, and some of them, I'm missing a few of them today.
Churches reported overflowing to capacity, people removing holiday decorations, now too painful to look at, imagining the Christmas for parents and siblings dealing suddenly with death and loss.
For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands.
What have we done to get to this point, people around the nation asked. President Obama, at a memorial service yesterday evening, tried to answer that question.
And in that way, we come to realize that we bear a responsibility for every child, because we're counting on everybody else to help look after ours. That we're all parents. That they're all our children. This is our first task, caring for our children. It's our first job. If we don't get that right, we don't get anything right. That's how, as a society, we will be judged.
We begin today where the president left off in his resolute but solemn words to the people of Newtown and the nation. What is to change if we are to change? The change the president is talking about now is deeper than the superficial changing of the guard change in his election campaign pitches. What level of change are we capable of in America to eradicate gun violence and these sorts of senseless killings? We begin with Carolyn McCarthy, Democratic Congresswoman from New York's 4th Congressional District. She ran for Congress and won when her husband was killed in a shooting on a commuter rail train back in 1993. Congresswoman McCarthy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Hi, John. How are you doing?
I wish we could be speaking under almost any other circumstance.
So do I.
Where do you think realistically this puts us in a debate, meaningful action, to use the words of the president, any step forward to change in some way the availability of firearms in the United States, if that indeed is where we go from here?
Listen, John, we've been through this. I've been through this too many times on trying to get legislation through. It's going to be a very, very tough haul. But with the president leading us, and I do believe he will lead us on this issue, we've got to turn the tide in this country. It's just too much.
Explain, though, how it works. I mean, let's take your story particularly. In 1993, your husband was killed and your son severely injured on a Long Island Railroad commuter train. And yet you take that argument up on Capitol Hill and say, look, I have lived this. This is my loss. And the reaction seems to be, well, hey, you know, we can't be responding to emotional people at a time like this, and nothing happens.
Well, to be very honest with you, John, if you go back to 1993, President Clinton was able to get the assault weapons ban put in place. Not easy, not easy at all. I was part of that. I was not in Congress at that time, but I was down there lobbying the members of Congress, and we did win. Unfortunately, in 2004, Congress let it expire, even though President Bush at that time said that he would sign the bill. So this is not going to be easy. I mean, a legislation will be introduced on the first day of the session of the Senate, and we will introduce it on the House side, and from there we will start to go. Now, there's another difference here, John. The other difference is Mayor Bloomberg, I believe, will put his full force on trying to talk to Republican members and try and get them to sign on. And I think that's important. Right now, everybody's talking about it. Will they be talking about it, or will the American people be with us come 3 months, 4 months from now? That is going to be the problem.
Carolyn McCarthy, Congresswoman from New York's 4th Congressional District. Let's take the NRA's perspective for a moment. They may be correct in the sense that nothing meaningful can come out of an assault weapons ban. What really has to happen to have an impact on this kind of crime and in these weapons in this very particular case, what has to happen is a wholesale collection of firearms from coast to coast. And they say any steps like an assault weapon ban are just the beginning down the road to wholesale collection of weapons by the government, and they're not going to go with that. And that, of course, creates a political non-starter.
John, that's absolutely not true. And the NRA, which you know, gets their backing from the gun manufacturers, and they keep telling their people this is what's going to happen. This is not going to be a slippery slope. After we passed the assault weapons bill, going back with President Clinton, people still were able to get their guns. The whole idea is the assault weapons, and Senator Feinstein has modernized it. There are over 4,000 guns that you can still be able to buy. People will still be able to buy their handguns for home protection. That is the law of the land. That is now part of the Constitution from the Supreme Court. But with that being said, let's be very, very honest here. When you have these large magazine clips with these semi-automatic assault weapons, they can kill an awful lot of people in a short amount of time. And I've always said I cannot save every single person. I can't. There's no way. There's no law in the land that we could ever do to be able to do that. But that doesn't mean that we can take precautions to do our best to try to reduce the gun violence in this country. You know, I spent my life as a nurse before I came to Congress. I look at things holistically. I know that they're already talking about, you know, we need to do something about mental health. Well, of course we need to do something about mental health. But how many of them, you know, support when we're trying to get money to make sure the mental health clinics in those communities that have troubled young people, what about the money that they've cut so that we can't have social workers or psychologists in schools? These are all things that have to come together.
How do you feel about having to discuss this once again? And, you know, the numbers are horrific up in Newtown, Connecticut. Emotionally speaking, given what you've lost How do you feel this morning?
It's not just me. It's all victims that have ever suffered from gun violence. When a tragedy like this happens, we all go back to the moment we found out about our loved one being murdered. I spent Friday crying. I spent Saturday crying. Every time I started to do an interview, I would try not to cry, but I would start to break down. These are, and I know what these parents are going to go through. I know what the husbands and the wives who lost their loved ones, I know what that's going to be like. And with the holidays coming up, it certainly doesn't make it any easier. But it's never easy. It's never easy.
Congresswoman McCarthy, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Congresswoman Carolyn McCarthy represents New York's 4th Congressional District. We go now to Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Is Congresswoman McCarthy singing a solo here, or is there a consensus emerging, even bipartisan, on moving forward?
John, it's too early to tell if any kind of consensus is bipartisan. You are, however, hearing something that tends to be typical, to be honest, after horrible tragedies like this, and that is outcries for action. You heard it from the president, of course, perhaps not surprising, but something a little more surprising and maybe a little telling this very morning on NBC's Morning Joe show. This is Senator Joe Manchin. Now, he is a Democrat, but he's a Democrat with an A rating from the NRA. I don't think we have the audio, but I'll tell you what Joe Manchin said. Joe Manchin said on television that it's time to move beyond rhetoric and he wants meaningful action. He said on mental health, on culture, and on guns. Again, Joe Manchin with an A rating from the NRA, the guy who, by the way, John, you may remember, physically turned and shot a bullet through the cap and trade bill in one of his campaign ads last year.
Right, very dramatic little photo op there. But is it an assault weapons ban, which may be the low-hanging fruit here, is that meaningful action or is it symbolic?
Well, it may be both. Let's look at a little bit of data. There has never been any evidence from the CDC or any other public health organization that the assault weapons ban of 94 to 2004 led to a decrease in that kind of violence. This kind of violence with assault weapons does remain relatively rare. The vast majority of handgun deaths and injuries in this country, of course, handguns. So is it meaningful? Is it meaningful or symbolic? I think that depends on what your impression of the problem is. Will Senator Feinstein and Representative McCarthy get anywhere? Tune in after January 20th in the inaugural.
Indeed, that's the discussion going forward. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. How are you talking about the events in Newtown, Connecticut with your own family?
This is Joseph Kenyon from Salt Lake City. I haven't explained anything to my son because he's only 3, but if he were able to or aware enough to ask the question about it, I would tell him the killer was a troubled individual who our society had failed to help.
What is society's responsibility? Coming up, conversations with parents with passionate views on this issue. We'd love to hear yours at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Stay with us. It's The Takeaway.